The following podcast is an Embassy Row production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Giving It Up For Less, a podcast about oversharing. How's everybody feeling? How are you doing? I hope everybody is well. I could not be more excited about today's episode because I have not one, but two guests. That's correct. Two for one. And prolific doesn't even begin to describe the way that I could describe these two ladies. They are New York Times best-selling authors. They have their own podcast. They're WWE superstars. They have a show, a little show you probably have seen called Total Bellas on E!, which I love so much and I'm nerding out and they don't even know it. You can watch that on E! On Demand and on Hulu. Please welcome to the show entrepreneurs, amazing, strong boss babes, Nikki and Brie Bella.
Oh, ooh. I love that introduction.
We love that intro.
We need to take you everywhere with this.
Honestly.
I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. I wanted to like capture my own enthusiasm. I'm just so excited that you two are here.
Oh, yes, thank you for having us.
Now, we met, for the dear listeners who don't know this yet, we filmed an episode of a show for E! Called Celebrity Call Center.
Yeah.
Where so people fun. Call in with problems and celebrities help kind of talk them through their issues. And Brie and Nikki were so open and like just like I am. Like, I'm an oversharer. It's the whole reason I have this podcast. And I was like, they would just be such great, amazing guests. So I'm so excited that you're here.
Oh, thank you. It's fun being open books.
It is. We like having no filters.
And you know what I always say? It makes it a lot easier because there's no like lies to keep track of. Like, if you're just always honest and open, then it's like, I don't have to worry about who I told what because I know what the truth is.
Exactly.
We always say that. We're like, gosh, we could actually run for the political office because we have nothing to hide. All the skeletons are out.
Right? Honestly.
And there is a certain, I find there's a certain like empowerment that way where it's like, I own my own story.
Oh, man, that's so true. I mean, there's nothing better than when you walk in your own truth. It's like you carry a different kind of confidence. You walk into a room and you know who you are and you're not afraid of it. And it's like, I think, too, when you have that, then you also don't even care what people think.
Yeah.
Because you're just so honest and truthful.
Yeah. And I think people forget human doesn't equal perfection. Human just equals, you know, human. It's like, okay to make mistakes. We're humans. You're going to do that. So Nicole and I just know, like, we're not perfect people. Like, you know, we have our ups and downs like everyone else.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously you both have a huge following. And I think that a huge part of that, I know for someone like me who has watched loved your show, and I was nerding out when we did Call Center together and I was like trying very hard to play it cool. I think it is a relatability because you live amazing lives, you know, and myself too, being on a TV show, a lot of people are like, wow, they live these like lives that I could only dream of. But when you do it in a way that feels authentic and real and relatable, I feel like that's like a special cool thing. I feel like we're allowed into people's lives now with social media and everything too in a way that didn't exist even like 10 years ago.
It's so true. It's, you know, it's having that true connection. And like Brie and I being WWE superstars and walking out to the ring for 13 years, that's where we really learned it. It was like, when I walk out onto the ramp, like how do I connect with the audience and the millions of TV viewers? And that's when Brie and I knew it was being authentic and being relatable and just being us. And then we started to see that connection. And then we started taking that into every aspect of our life, whether it was us doing public speaking or appearances or the reality show. Like, we meet so many reality stars that try to portray someone instead of themselves when Brie and I are like, no, we're just going to be us.
Right.
And that, I think that's why we've done now reality TV for 7 years. It's just, it's real. And when something's real, people connect and they hold on to it. It's even like companies. When people start companies, you could see through the ones that are not authentic, and the ones that are, they grow and they become massive companies because people believe in it.
Right.
I absolutely agree. And I think that you're right. I think that you nailed it, that it's like, there's something disarming. I think especially when women are very open and honest. And again, when we were shooting, this was, I can't even remember, a month ago, time means nothing anymore.
Right.
But you two are obviously both very pregnant. And at the time you were being very open, talking very openly about like, this is kind of what I'm going through. And this is what sex is right now and all of the above. And I was even disarmed. And I was like, it's such a good reminder that there's such a power. I mean, obviously I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure, but there's such a power in just being like, no, my existence is, first of all, common and relatable and is important to talk about.
I agree. You know, I feel like especially being in the world of social media, what we all go through, everyone goes through behind closed doors. And I think when there's someone in the spotlight and they're like, oh, they're open and they're actually go through what I go through, like, I got hemorrhoids. Like, it sucked. And that was real. Yeah. And when I talked about it, it was so funny how many people reach out and they go, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. And then when I talked about sex and pregnancy and the changes and all these different things, it's everyone goes through it.
Right.
And when it's they can relate, refreshing. It's so refreshing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Nicole and I used to laugh like years ago when we'd be talking or in interviews. And if we said vagina, the whole room would get quiet and we'd see our PR people with like, you know, WWPR just like with big eyes. Like we said vagina. And Nicole and I would always giggle because we're like, we have them. We should be able to say yeah. the name vagina.
Right. I'm like, what do you want me to say? Yeah. I mean, cookie? Like, that's yeah. better for yeah. you guys? Like, I'm sorry.
But we'd always laugh because something that is just scientifically on the human body, you know, would make people like stop in the tracks like they just said vagina.
And I think you and I really like the shock factor of yeah. it, of people, like how they would get with it. It would make us want to talk yeah. about it more.
Yeah, it's true.
I love that. I'm so the same way. And I remember when I, years ago, I'm Canadian and I was in Toronto in the comedy world, kind of coming up in that world. And there was a TV special that my friend and I got to be on and do some like sketch comedy. And one of our jokes said cunt in it.
Yeah.
And they were like, we obviously can't do that on TV. And we're like, of course, we understand. We can't say the C word. We totally get it. And they were like, you also can't say pussy, vagina. There was they listed basically every word for vagina. And I was like, what's the rules on dick? And they're like, oh, yeah, like dick, cock, any of that is fine. And I'm like, isn't it amazing that we can say a million different words for male genitalia, but the second we say the scientific term vagina, it's like, oh, this is too much. It's yeah. too far.
It's so
it blows my mind.
Blows my mind. And it just shows you where women still are at in this world and the fight we still truly have to be equal. I mean, even at the WWE, like right now we're celebrating our fifth anniversary of Evolution. And honestly, we started that fight 5 years ago of truly breaking barriers and being equal to the men. And we still have that fight when it comes to right. equal pay. And when you see how right. many storylines the men have to the women, we're still in that. And it blows my mind because even when I watch like HBO, I'm like, now you could show a dick dingling around.
Yeah.
But why about a vagina? Like there has to be a massive bush and it's yep. like shot a certain way. But I'm like, I literally just saw dick and balls. Like, yeah. I think I'd rather see a vagina at that point. I mean, oh. you know,
yes.
unless it's David from like centuries ago walking around. Just kidding.
I know. I know. It's like we can't show a vagina, but we can show a limpy, flaccid penis just yeah. bobbing around the screen. I know. Yeah. It's so bizarre, but it feels crazy too. And I know this sounds so like, you know, simple and on the nose, but it's to me, it's like in our lifetime, like it's 2020. Like it feels like at times I feel like, oh, we've gotten past it. We've got, and then I'm reminded when something, you know, like what we're talking about happens, I'm reminded that like, it's like, oh, we can't get complacent. I feel like it's like, we're just getting started.
Oh my right. gosh. I mean, I'll be honest. Like I never thought that we'd be at the forefront. I've seen a women's evolution at WWE, and it was an incredible feeling. And to be part of the forefront of that was amazing. But you do think to yourself, like, why wasn't this 20 years ago? And right. so, and you know, Nicole and I, when we were in middle school, we will never forget for the first time, Mia Hamm, it was like the women's soccer team went to World Cup, and Mia Hamm did a commercial with Michael Jordan, and it was everything you could do, I could do better. And the way they were, and it was the first time it gives me goosebumps, but that Nicole and I were like, yeah, that's right. We could do better than the boys. But it took like, that was the first time we ever saw something like that.
Right. Right. And even being an entrepreneur and in business, it's crazy like how much at times I feel I have to prove myself because I am a woman. And so when I'm in a meeting and it's majority of men, like I feel like I have to speak a certain way or act a certain way to prove my worth of being in this meeting. And it's crazy that we still have to feel that way as women. You know, it's 2020. It's like, we shouldn't even have to think that, but we do.
Right.
Absolutely. And I find myself often too, when I'm in positions like that, where sometimes people will say something to me and I just think to myself, I'm like, would you talk to a dude that way? Like, would you say that to a dude that it's like, oh, you know? And the fact that that even enters my mind is that it's like, are you speaking to me? I remember, again, this was quite a few years ago now, but I was up for a writing gig, a comedy writing gig. And I was very qualified, overqualified for this job up in Canada. And then they said to me, and I'll never forget it. They said to me in this tone, it's a lot of work. You'd have a lot on your plate. Do you think you could handle it? Literally in that tone. And I was kind of like taken aback. And I was like, I've done harder jobs than this. Like, yes, I can do it. And then they ended up hiring a man who had half my experience to do that job.
Wow. It's crazy.
And it was one of those things where it was like, again, and I mean, sure, this was like 10 years ago now. But again, I'm like, that's still 2010. Like, doesn't that feel like too recent?
Right. To be having way to like too recent.
Having that condescending, do you think you can handle it? Like, oh my God. And to the point that you two are exhibiting is you're creating life at the same time that you're running businesses, you're doing podcasts, you're doing shows. Like, if anything, I mean, and I hate to speak in stereotypical terms, but I'm like, women, if anything, are pretty good multitaskers. We're just designed that way.
I mean, so good. I mean, my husband will tell me all the time. He is like, I cannot multitask the way you do. He goes, I have to concentrate on one thing at a time. Or he gets really stressed out, he will watch me and he's like, it's mind blowing. And I'm like, I think I'm just, you're born with it as a woman.
Yeah. You are born with it for sure. And it's like, if people could see that more and appreciate it more, they would understand why women need to run companies more, even the country.
Yep.
We can multitask, but we can also have compassion and be understanding and listen. To me, that's such a big one, too, is like the listening part. Like, we listen and then we react. And
right. Well, and Nicole and I always say there's nothing more powerful than feminine energy. Like, when feminine energy walks into a room and the way it can just shine and all that, it's very powerful. And I feel like we're starting to see mm-hmm. it, you know, more in the last couple of years. But you do see the power of it because there's something right. about it that's it softens you and it makes you feel comforted, but at the same time, you see the power in it that gives you strength.
Well, even think of when there's a manly man, but he is able to also express that feminine energy that they carry.
Yeah.
He's so much more powerful. And that's like why that energy is just so strong. It's like us women have it, but men have it too. And I wish they would use that side more.
Right. Like our guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our guys have very strong feminine energy.
Artem and Brian, our guys have really good. They know how to balance both.
They do.
I love that. And I think I agree with you. I think it's interesting that it's so kind of programmed in men to go the other way and to be, you know, be a man, whatever, don't be a wuss, whatever you want to say. But there's so much power, you're right, into tapping into that sensitivity and again, the listening and stuff like that, that I think is like is almost taught to young boys not to have. To just like actively listen and have compassion. It sounds so simple, but I agree with you. I think it's such an interesting phenomenon.
Oh, I definitely agree. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. You are my kind of gals. I could talk about this forever. We could talk about female empowerment forever. I'd be very happy. The theme for this episode, there's always a theme, disaster dates. And I've had that kind of theme a couple of times, but that's because I've just had so many. And I know that obviously both of you, you're in relationships now, you have babies on the way, but I was very curious because I feel like most of us have had, you know, at least a handful of two of challenging experiences in kind of our dating lives until we get to where we are currently. And the story that I remember, and this was quite a few years ago now too, this was probably maybe 8 or 10 years ago, but I was living in Toronto and I met this gentleman on, I believe it was OkCupid, I think was the thing at the time. Oh, and wow. he was very nice. We went for drinks. He asked for a second date. No problem. He takes me to a Blue Jays game. I'm a huge baseball fan. And he really goes all out on tickets. Like gets nice tickets. And I was like, okay, like he's really kind of making the effort. And so then after the game is done, my condo in Toronto was like near where the Blue Jays play. And he's like, why don't I come over and we can play a board game? And I was like, nah, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was like kind of a lame line, but I've given it up for less. Hence the name of this show. So we go into my apartment and we play Scrabble and I win, obviously. And then he goes to use the bathroom. And when he comes back out, he's like, why do you have two toothbrushes? And I was like, This was a second date.
It was second
date. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I just got another one at work when I was shooting something at lunch. I don't know. And he's like, okay, all right. And then he's like, I also noticed that there's some men's deodorant in there. And here's the fun fact is I wear men's deodorant. I prefer it. I always have since I was a kid. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's mine. And he was like, okay. And then he sits down next to me on the couch and he kind of like leans into me and kind of like hunkers down a little. And then he just turns his head and jams his nose into my armpit and smells so deeply.
No.
And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, nothing, just checking it out. And I was like, do I smell bad? And he's like, you don't smell great. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Am I getting roasted now on this
day?
And I was like, what's that about? And the only thing I can think is that he was trying to see if I smelt like the man's deodorant.
Totally.
Because
for sure.
I think he was trying to write a story that I had a boyfriend.
Right. 100%. I mean, I'll say serial killer would have went through my head.
Yeah.
And I would have instantly freaked out and been like, you got to go before you kill me next.
Honestly. And that's the proper response to have.
Right.
I didn't have that response. He then turns to me and he goes, well, and I was like, you know what? Like, I think I got to go to bed. And he's like, well, you know, I've had a few beers, so I should probably sleep here. And I was like, you can sleep on the couch if that's what you need to do. But this was before Uber and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, fine. He sleeps on the couch. He leaves the next day. I text him and I'm like, listen, thanks again. But I'm not interested, essentially. Yeah. And he writes back, yeah, neither am I. Okay, great. 2 hours later, this is the follow up to this amazing story. 2 hours later, a photo text pops up and it's a loaf of bread. And there's a sticky note on it that says, help yourself. And the text he put along with it was, this was in the kitchen at my office today. It's nice to know there's at least some good left in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't
super
crazy?
Sensitive. Yeah.
Beyond crazy.
Oh my God.
Like, where'd you meet him?
I met him on Cupid. I think it was OkCupid. This was in Toronto. Okay, so, this is when I was still living in Toronto.
Oh, wow. The dating apps. Those always scared me.
Hit or miss.
Yeah.
Hit or miss. Well,
that
and
is
this
hilarious.
Was, yeah, I mean, again, and your response was correct. I should have said, you seem like a killer. Could you please leave my home? But my terrible Canadian niceness. I was like, if you're too drunk, sleep on the couch. I don't know. But listen, it's no
goodness.
Excuse.
I don't even think my husband has ever smelled my armpit. Like, I think we've gone 9 years and no smelling armpits. I don't know.
I mean, I definitely have made Artem smell mine. And but I feel like I don't smell great, but he's never just come and sniffed me out.
Yeah. I think I would freak out if my husband did it.
It's not a common move. I feel like it's more of a move from like a dog. Like a dog will get in there potentially, but not a human.
No.
You saved yourself.
You did.
I did. Gosh.
Especially
really
on the second date.
I know. Nicole and I are very known.
What about you two? Do you have any memories of any like crazy dates or nightmare dates, disasters?
Oh, yes. I mean, I have to say, you've had a lot of disaster
I've
dates.
Had a lot
I feel
of
bad.
Sometimes I want to write a book because I'm just,
you've
some
got
of the dates, I'm like,
weird
this,
situations.
Yeah.
I had
they
this
sound
one.
Scripted.
So I moved to New York and I just got out of this really bad breakup. I was with a guy 5.5 years. So I moved to New York and I want to explore the city. I'm like super excited. And I was on the subway and there was this man who helped me, very good looking. And we had a connection and it was really cool. And he's like, I'd love to take you on a date. So I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, it'd be great. And he wanted to show me New York. So we had a date a couple days later and we're literally sitting there and we're eating and we're talking, having great conversation. And all of a sudden he goes, oh my gosh, my wife. And he starts like bashing his wife. And I was like, what? And then he's talking about his kids and like someone didn't do homework or like they were whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so confused right now. Are you talking about like your wife? Like you're married? And he's like, yeah, I'm married. But he looked at me as if like, duh. And I was like, I'm sorry, what kind of date is this? He's like, oh, it's very common in New York. I'm looking for a Thursday girlfriend. So he had a house in Connecticut, but he works in the city. And he was like, I have an apartment here, but I just like, I never go home on Thursdays. So we'd hang out Thursdays. You'd stay the night. Like gave me the spiel.
Like it's some deal. It's like a proposal. I'm proposing you this contract.
The guy didn't have shaky voice when he said it to me. Like he literally looked at me as if like this was the most common thing to happen in New York City. And maybe it is. I don't know. I literally was like, yeah, I just was mind blown. I mean, I remember I was like, this is really hard for me to finish a dinner. It's very uncomfortable. I would never like want to be on a date with a husband. So we ended it pretty quick. But that was probably like the weirdest, most disastrous date I've ever been on.
That's pretty extreme. And I also love anytime somebody says something and uses an expression that it's like we're supposed to all know, like, oh, I'm looking for a Thursday night girlfriend, as though that's something that like is just common knowledge. Like, that's wild.
Like, we were raised to know, like,
yeah,
I know. Like, this is the law.
I know. I wanted to be like, you just asked a Latina on a date. You think a Latina is okay with this? Like,
sharing?
Sharing? We don't share.
Oh my God, I love it.
That's amazing. Like, yeah, that's, wow. That's a, and it's, you know what? It is interesting. Like you said, like his voice didn't even crack. He didn't even, like, it was just like, this is just, is so confident. Like,
he didn't
wow.
have a piece of sweat come down his forehead.
Are you sure he wasn't a serial killer?
Probably. Good thing I got out of that.
I wonder if his wife knew. Do you think his wife knew, or do you think this was just super shady?
So the way he talked, part of me feels like his wife
assumes.
Yeah, and doesn't care.
Right.
Maybe, you know, because for him to have that much confidence, he wasn't hiding. I mean, we were at a restaurant.
And there was never a ring?
No, that he wasn't wearing a ring. Mm. And we were at a restaurant where everyone could see us. So it's not like nothing was being hidden. So I would think his wife would be okay with it.
Right.
She might hate him so much. She's like, please have like a bunch of Thursday girlfriends. Get out
Honestly,
of my life.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Just want the check.
Yeah. Probably warned me the sex is bad.
Wow. Yeah. And then I also wonder, like, does he have like a Wednesday girlfriend, you know? Like, is there also like how much of the story are you even getting? Is there a Friday girlfriend?
Of course.
If
you have an apartment in the city, you're not staying there one night.
You're not.
Yeah.
No way.
Great.
You want different flavors of the week. You know. The best is if you ended up being his Thursday girlfriend, then you ran into him on a Tuesday with a girl and he's like, what? This is the Tuesday girl.
Yeah, didn't flinch.
Yeah.
He's like, and it's not my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. That reminds me of that Sex and the City episode, I think, where Candace Bergen was talking about how it's like, I'm his girlfriend on this side of Central Park. So it was like, I'm his like side girlfriend. And he also has a west side girlfriend. I mean, that was New York. Maybe this
totally.
Is more of a thing than we think.
Honestly.
We need to be handed a rule book of New York.
I know.
It must be out there.
And then I stuck to all the bartenders.
Yeah, you did. Wild.
You know, the bartenders, they were honest people in New York City.
No strings attached.
No strings
That's
attached.
Why you liked it.
They were on my perfect kind of schedule. Drink at night, sleep all day. So,
yeah,
I went from one businessman to a bunch of bartenders.
Yeah.
It's more fun that way. And look, when I was working at the Second City, we were doing like 8 shows a week. Like, you basically, we were keeping those hours. So that I was definitely, that was my pool for a long time too, was that it was like, because I'm awake, you know, I start work at 7:30 PM. I'm done at like 11:30 and then I'm awake. So you do start to fall into that bartender crowd, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Which, listen, like you're saying, there's some positives. There's some positives.
Oh yeah. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun. They're really good looking majority of the time.
Right.
Yeah. It felt like a win-win for me all around. Free drinks. I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Then
that's
you
the
get
huge plus.
The huge plus to get the free
and you
drinks.
You get into like the hard clubs and stuff,
like,
usually because they're all connected.
They're all connected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, this is how you do New York. So if you move to New York City, just go after the bartenders.
That's a good tip. That's a good tip for anybody listening. You know, go to New York, go for the bartenders, stay for the Thursday night dates.
Yeah. I love it.
Which one? What about you, Nicole? Because you have so many.
Well, I think I should definitely tell this one. So I was on a layover in Chicago one time and I was drinking at the bar and I met a guy and I was headed to San Diego and he's like, oh, I live in San Diego. And so we started talking, we had drinks. And he's like, can I take you out sometime when we both are there? And I was like, oh, sure, totally. So I had a day off in San Diego and we ended up planning a date. And the first, I think red flag, he was like, come pick me up at my house. And I was like, oh, no one really asked to be picked up, but okay. And then he's like, just knock on the door and then we'll leave. And I'm like, okay. So knock on the door. He answers in a towel, dripping wet. And I was like, and he's like, oh, just come in. Sorry, I'm running late. And it just seems so fake to me. Like it was planned. And then he starts talking about his drum set. And I'm like, ew, I don't care. Like, just get dressed. So I was like kind of already annoyed because I'm like, are you serious? Like I saw the setup.
Yeah.
So I definitely kept my distance and kind of got a little cold. So he got dressed and then he's like, okay, well, we're going to head to Buca di Beppo and, you know, conversation's okay. And then our food comes and he looks down and the waitress starts to walk away and he goes, hey, more meatballs. I want more meatballs. Screaming. And I look like, and I'm a waitress at this point. Yeah. And I'm like, what? I was so humiliated. And she was like, excuse me. So he demands more meatballs in the craziest way. And I'm like, just like, I need to get out of here. And what, there's something else that happened before we had left.
I can't remember.
It just at this point, I had had it. It was like the rude to the staff, screaming more meatballs, like opening the door in a wet towel. So I remember, I think, texting Bree, like, I don't know, this guy is creepy and weird. Like, I was actually getting serial killer vibes. Right. I was like, and he's in the military, and I was just feeling like, I don't know, this isn't my jam. So we start to walk to the car, and then we're, for some reason, we decided to take a shortcut down a dark alley. And all of a sudden, there was a moment that I'm like, I think this is it. He grabs my shoulders from behind, like in a grip. And I'm like, oh, I'm done. Like, I'm going to be on the news tomorrow morning.
Over meatballs.
Over meatballs. And like turns me around quick to go in for a kiss. And then I dodge. And I was like, no. And I just was like, oh my gosh, like I need to go home. And he's like, no, you're not going home yet. I'm taking you on a tour through the military base.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
And I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no.
And I did it.
You did?
I did.
And after he grabbed you like that, screamed for meatballs, opened up the door with his towel.
I mean, it was the worst thing ever. And I listened to the most boring stories, went on the tour, dropped him off, and then never spoke to him again.
Oh, wow.
It was nuts.
Okay, so you and I are kindred spirits because that is so something that would have happened to me. I totally get it. And I totally get that thing too where you're like, well, I'm in this. Like, I guess I'll see it through. Like, I don't know what takes over the brain.
Honestly, I'm like, why did I'm such a, like, and I've gone to therapy for it for so long. Like, I'm such a pleaser. And it's like, I felt the need that I had to please to finish this date, even though I was terrified and miserable. And I mean, now if it was me now, I would have left him in the alley.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it was, I mean, just crazy. And, you know, when it's funny because when you're talking about bartenders, I have to say one story.
Yes, please.
So I had kicked one. I had hooked up with one and then like kicked him out of my house because I got super grossed out.
Is this the one who robbed you?
No, but I forgot I got robbed too.
Oh, no.
No, but this one, I was super drunk and I had text. And then when I looked at my text later, like an hour later, I thought he texted to me and I was being a bitch. And then I thought he texted. So I responded to myself on the text. Do you remember
that? You had like a full on conversation where you're just
with
going,
myself on our text.
Oh my God.
We never spoke
That's amazing.
Again, which was great. It's actually really good. If anyone ever wants to really get rid of a guy for good.
Just be crazy like
just
that?
Just be crazy. Start... Send a text, a really mean one, and respond to it as if you think it was him. And that's for sure. You will never see him again.
Oh my
He'll be
gosh.
Out of your life. He'll be out of your hair. That is so funny. I've never thought of doing that, but I love that. I love that through, like, I've done similar things where, like, through drunken eyes, you see something and you're like, no, I didn't mean to send that. And then you're like, no, you didn't. Like, it's from the other person or whatever. That is too funny.
Oh, yeah. When I saw the next morning, I was, like, dying, like, who does that? Who responds to themselves? I mean,
it was pretty good. Worst for me is my husband doesn't drink. So when I drunk text him and all that, he's just so aware and so sober. And then like he'll remind me the next morning of everything. And I'm like, listen, drunk people don't remind drunk people what happened. I don't know. He needs you to. But I'm like, I'm screwed forever. Like, he will forever remind me.
Drunk texting is the worst. Like, unless you're, like, you're super great at it. But, like, when it's just bad drunk texting.
I always tell myself, don't text your husband drunk, Brie.
Yeah. I think I'd rather do a walk of shame than have to relive a drunk text the next morning hungover.
Or drunk IG storing. Like, I've done that before. Yeah. And, like, the next morning, I'm like, please tell me I didn't post anything. And I'm like, oh, damn. I'm like, awful.
I've had so many, like, semi-nudes that I'm then. And at the moment, bless my drunk confidence, I'm like, there's never been anyone hotter. Yeah. This is a gift to the world. And the next thing, I'm like, take it down. What are you doing? Like, also, like, not flattering. There are better photos, you know? Like, Yeah, I've been there.
And it's always the awkward positions, like totally back lean, like looking, like trying to get the booty shot or something. Oh, and it looks so bad.
Yeah. And it'll inevitably for me be one of myself and a girlfriend who is equally as drunk. And we're doing the lovely woman thing, which is really like supporting each other. But then the next day, it'll be like, what were we thinking? Take it down. What are we doing? Yeah. This is a problem.
Alcohol.
What it does.
Alcohol, man. My therapist, well, that was a slip. My publicist, also my therapist, a lot of the time, she and I have an agreement, much like there was in The Wedding Singer. You remember in The Wedding Singer, Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, there's a talk about like, how do you kiss? And it's like, well, do you use tongue? You use church tongue. Well, she and I have coined a phrase, which is if you're going to be posting something like in a bathing suit, it has to at least be church thong. There at least has to be, we've got to you got to cover at least part of that butt, Lauren.
Yes.
Come on.
So can you start
to say that about your cleavage, too, on Instagram?
Church? You're such a hater on
church
my cleavage.
Cleavage.
Sometimes I can't control it, Brie. They have a mind of their own, especially right now.
I can only imagine the breastfeeding cleavage we're going to see from Nikki on Instagram.
I don't know if I'm going to do those pics. We'll see. I'm not
meaning feeding your baby.
Oh.
Just because your boobs are going to get so massive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already entered an alphabet I thought I never would. For sure. So, yeah, or a letter. And I don't even want to know what's going to happen once the milk comes in.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. I've been on this like total like self-love kick where I'm just like, in this moment, I'm the hottest I'll ever be, right? Because it's like age only works against us traditionally. Not for everybody, but yeah, I feel like that's a time to just let them go. Like, embrace it.
Yeah.
Free the nipple, Brie.
Free the nip, man. Come on. Yeah,
there you go. Allowed.
The breast nipple.
Yep.
Breastfeeding nipple.
Especially when it gets so big. It's like, I mean.
Yeah.
There's nothing else you can do.
Exactly.
Did you see that Amy Schumer documentary? Did you watch that?
Oh, it's I haven't watched it yet.
It follows her pregnancy. It's wild.
Is it?
Oh, I need to watch.
I bet it's hilarious.
It's very funny. She got very sick throughout her whole pregnancy.
Oh,
but
really?
She also was like really open about the whole process. It was interesting. It was. I feel like it might be an interesting watch. Have your pregnancies been easy? Have you been sick or have you been pretty good?
So our first trimester, we both had morning sickness.
It was literally, well, not even morning.
Not morning. We just felt like we were car sick all the time.
A hungover.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a bad hangover every day my first trimester. Yeah. But I also ended up getting influenza B on top of it. Yeah.
Oh.
So it was like I got it right at the end of December and I was in bed for 3 weeks, just so sick. And then, you know, also afraid, like praying I wasn't going to miscarry. That's why 2020 for me, it's like the minute I got out in the world, I was in the world for like 3 to 4 weeks and then COVID hit. I'm like, seriously? Just got over the flu. But yeah, it was, first trimester was tough and a second was amazing.
It was amazing, but we just were stir crazy because we were in quarantine.
Yeah.
Still stir crazy.
Still stir crazy. Yeah. And then third trimester, it's just been uncomfortable. Some days you get the little bit of sickness or nauseousness or your body's just doing something crazy that's so unexpected.
And Nicole and I are the type of girls, we retain water really easily. So like we always laugh because you would look at us and you would always feel like we fluctuate in weight, but we just retain water, especially when it's that time of the month. Like her and I will hold on to 5 to 8 pounds of water weight and then it just goes away. So pregnancy, it's kind of been doing that test in the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah.
We're retaining so much water. I'm just like,
that's okay. We're almost there. Pigs in a blanket.
You're in the home stretch, ladies. It's almost here. I'm so glad that I managed to catch you before you're, you know, knee deep in newborns.
It's crazy.
You're actually our last interview we're doing before we give birth.
Because literally Bree's about to have one any day. She's dilated at 1.5. Yeah. My cervix is already softened. So
you're ready to go.
We're ready. Like
that
could be any moment.
Wild.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, I'm so excited for both of you. I mean, it's such an exciting time, I'm sure. And doing it together, I'm sure, must be such a like special thing. I love that.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It is. So special.
I've often said like I'm actually an only child, but I have a couple of very, very close girlfriends. And I've often thought, I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I think we got to do it together. Like we have to time it together.
Yes.
It helps. Like, you know, one, being around someone who's not drinking, that has helped.
That helps.
And then just going through everything,
all the body changes and just the
feelings.
She's
been like my doctor cause she's already done it.
Right.
So it's like, I don't have to blow up my doctor. I just blow up Brie all the time. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this. Is it okay? Is this bad? And I really haven't read any books because I just get all my information from her. I look at her daughter and I'm like, okay, she turned out perfect. So I'll just do what you did.
That's so sweet. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so in love with you too. You have no idea.
Aww.
There's no one size fits all when it comes to shampoo and conditioner. I've personally always struggled to find a shampoo and conditioner that can help with my split ends without making the rest of my hair super greasy. Pros makes personalized shampoo and conditioners and has given over 1 million consultations with their in-depth hair quiz. That's how I got started. With their algorithm and over 50 billion formula combinations, Pros determined a unique blend of ingredients to treat my exact concerns. Now, the quiz is super interesting. There's questions on there you would never expect, like, does your hair hang on to the smell of food or smoke? Or how much skin shows in the part of your hair. I have no idea what it all means, but it's all part of their process. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/GIUFL. That's PROSE.com/GIUFL for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off. Now, dumb lies we tell. We're going to move on to a segment called Dumb Lies We Tell. I put a call out on the internet to our listeners to submit dumb lies. So I'm going to read one that I think you'll enjoy. This is pretty great. So this person says, okay, my dumbest lie. I started going to this new youth group a couple of years ago. We help out around town. We do charity work and we just hang out. I walk in, the lady in charge starts to introduce me before I can even start talking. Now, I don't know where she got this from, but she says my name is Lucas and I'm Australian. Now, my real name is Jesse and I am 100% English. In my state of pure panic and anxiety, I simply play along. And now I attend a weekly youth group in which everyone thinks I'm Australian. I even do the accent, horribly, I'll admit, but I'm too far in to come clean. I'm straight up living a second life. I had to come up with an entire backstory as to how I moved to England. This is a problem. So a few things I love about this lie. One, first of all, who is this crazy youth group leader who randomly thought she knew this person?
Right.
And then two, the commitment to just, well, I guess we're in this now.
Right. And the accent. I mean, that is like committed.
And then like a backstory.
Right.
I mean, and I wonder where she said she came from.
Nothing better is living this double life at youth group. So it's like you're talking about sinning probably every week, but you're sinning every
week. That is
the
exact thought that I had, is that I was like, I love that you're lying constantly at something that I'm assuming is about God.
Right.
Right. Oh my God.
I'm actually very impressed with her.
It's Lucas.
It's a him.
Oh, him. I'm actually
Jesse
impressed.
Jesse Lucas. Yes. Jesse slash Lucas. Yeah.
So I'm impressed with him. I actually would like to meet him and pick his brain.
I just couldn't imagine being a youth group and then finding out this Australian guy named Lucas, because majority of people like to go to youth groups weekly because they want to find a husband or wife. And
of course,
you know, and knowing that this guy lied and had been lying.
I mean, to me, it sounds like a really good movie.
It really does.
I would watch.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I think you're right. It really does.
I can't wait to actually see the ending for Jesse Lucas.
I just wish I could be there the day Lucas tells everyone he's Jesse and he's not Australian.
And he's English.
Right. Well, what happens if somebody, if he gets close to one of these people, they give their number, he's not answering his phone, they're going to, like, does he change his voicemail message? Like, how far does this go?
Or does he have Instagram? I mean, I feel like people stalk people's Instagrams a lot.
Right.
And maybe he just says he's not on it.
I bet he's going to make an Instagram, a Lucas Instagram.
Well, listen,
Jesse Lucas, if you're listening to this, we're encouraging you to share, to email again, share with us a little bit more about how deep you're going to take this. Like, will you change your voicemail message? Will you start an Instagram account?
Yes, we need like to know this. And are you ever going to own up to it? Or are you just forever, when it comes to youth group, Lucas?
Right.
I want to know, where are you headed with this?
Yeah.
What's the end game?
This is like a long con here.
With probably no good way out of this.
Oh my gosh.
Unless the rom-com version of this is there's a young lady who is then charmed by the fact that he, you know, kept up this ruse because he didn't want to tell the leader that she was wrong, and maybe they end up together forever.
That's actually true. See, being the preacher's daughter.
Yeah.
They always like wild stories.
They do. She's like, ooh, that really turned me on.
Yeah, I like it.
What a rebel.
What a rebel.
Now, what about you two? Do you guys ever get caught in dumb lies?
I do all the time. It's funny because my husband, like, he literally is always mind blown by this, but I don't know why I do this, but this is the people pleasing part of us. But I always lie about if I'm on time or not. So people will be like, oh, you know, what's your ETA or all that? And I'll always say I'm on my way, but I'm curling my hair. And Brian will literally be like, why not just tell him, like, you have to finish curling your hair? And I'm like, I don't want them to be disappointed.
You are the worst. And he goes,
but you're going to show up late. So they're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, but they're going to now, like, I tell them I'm on my way, makes them all feel good. So they're just going to be enjoying it instead of me saying I'm curling my hair. And everyone's like, ugh. And he literally does not understand. And I still do it to this day. He actually told me the other day I made him, we were going to be late somewhere. And I was like, oh, just text and say we're stuck in traffic. And he goes, why lie? We have a toddler. We run late. And I'm like, yeah, but traffic sounds like, you know, like they can't get mad at us. He's like, they can't get mad at us over our toddler. Like, but it's really funny. I always lie about time. Like what my ETA. Always.
See, for me during this pregnancy, I've been lying to Artem, like about if I go sneak pastries or Chick-fil-A. And I even ate Chick-fil-A in my car, threw it out in the garbage outside, and then he had to go throw something away and he goes, who got Chick-fil-A? And I was like, oh shit. Like, I just got caught on Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, I'm pregnant. Why am I hiding this? Like, I'm just, it's cravings, but it's like, I just don't want him to know, to think like I'm just
being bad or giving
my child this kind of food. And I just do it all the time. Like, it's crazy.
It is funny.
Like, I just don't understand
it. Well, listen, I've told this story on here before, but to that, I think you'll appreciate when I first started dating my current boyfriend and we were going through like a Starbucks drive-thru, I like to have a Splenda in my coffee. And I felt so embarrassed because it's like, it's chemicals, it's whatever, that I lied. And I was like, oh, just milk. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, now I'm drinking something that I don't like how it tastes as much. And like, why? Like, why is this? Like, if he's going to be like, break up with me over a Splenda a day, I'm like, maybe there's a bigger problem.
Right?
Right.
Honestly, like.
But it is funny when you think how our minds work. And they're.
Yeah.
It's in an innocent way. Even though, but you know what I mean? But like,
right.
But it's so funny that we just feel like, I don't know.
Lie. It's so crazy. I've eaten more bad food in my car and I've tried to get rid of the evidence. It's like, what am I doing, Nicole?
I've actually been with you.
I know you've been with me.
Multiple times where we'll see a garbage can. We go like, just pull over and I'll like throw all our stuff away.
It's almost like you just feel like the calories don't count at that point. You're like, it doesn't count,
yeah,
right?
No one saw it.
No one saw it.
No. No, you're creating life. It doesn't count. You got to live. You got to live while you're creating life.
Yes.
The other dumb lies I've been telling myself recently, I don't know if you two ever get into this, but I'll get a dumb targeted ad on some social media platform. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, let's just see what this game is. And they're all variations on Candy Crush. You know what I mean? It's all variations of the same. And I lie to myself every time. And I'm always like, you'll just play it until it's not free anymore. And then you'll stop. Currently, I'm $6 deep into Matchington Mansion. I don't even know what this game is. Why am I invested? It's like, and I'll be over it in a week.
Yeah,
I know. You
it's
know,
a bad
I,
addiction.
My addiction is I buy all these fitness apps and I think, I'm buying it means I'm going to start. Nope.
Yep.
I've had to do more cancellations, more it's awful. But I think I do the same too. I think it's just like a trick as if I'm going to just be doing it.
Yeah. That's the one thing I haven't fallen into yet is buying apps.
Yeah.
Well, there's always time.
Yeah. Right.
Never say never.
Free solitaire. And I literally go through the ads, like refuse to buy it without.
We listen to your Pandora and you still have commercials. It drives me crazy.
Because
I'm like,
you know,
upgrade.
What?
Upgrade your Pandora.
I don't need to upgrade. I'm still getting music. I'm patient during the minute that it plays ads. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to get the next 6 songs and I'm saving money.
That's a good habit to be in.
Yeah.
Don't be like me. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're like secretly under the bank blanket playing this weird game. I paid $2 to have a pet pig in the game today.
Oh my gosh.
It's a cartoon.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Shit, I need to get in the app business. I need to start creating apps.
And the whole thing lured me in because in this targeted ad I had seen, it's a cartoon of a woman who's pregnant. And then her toilet's overflowing and she's like slipping in it. And I'm like, what's this crazy game? And now I'm just like, again, I'm on level 35. I've only been on it for a day. It's a problem.
That is amazing.
That really is.
I love that.
But you're obsessed with solitaire.
I am. A solitaire is my one when if I'm on a plane or if I can't sleep and I don't want to get out of bed, I'll play solitaire to just like for my mind. But that's it. But I mean, it's a card game. I mean, what? Is that bad?
It's classic.
No. Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I got to download Solitaire. Soul. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to kind of divert my energies into something that maybe is better for the brain.
Better for the brain. There's no upselling unless you don't want ads.
Yeah.
But it's just straight up. You could change the deck if you want, like the back of it. You could choose colors or designs. Listen, that's about
you know
as
what?
Fun
you
as
sold
it gets.
Me. I'm going to do that as soon as we get off of this. I'm going to definitely download Solitaire because that is feels like a much better use of my time. yeah. We have one more segment together, and it is something called Never Let Go. It is a segment about grudges. Are you two grudge holders?
I used to be.
Bree.
I used to be.
I'm not. Bree's a grudge holder.
Until I went through therapy. Still, like, now I have a life coach, so she helps me release. But I was a major grudge holder.
I mean, since she's been a little girl.
Yeah.
She's always held grudges.
Well, and my grudges were for very good reasons.
Oh.
Like, I'm one of those people, like, I could take so much, and then the minute you get, like, you push me over that line, then, you know.
Right.
I either cut you out of my life or I have a grudge.
You do both. You used to do both always. Usually it's a person who lacks forgiveness.
But like I said, I go to therapy and I've let go. I've
now you have
forgiven
a
lot
heart.
Of people.
Yeah, you have.
Listen, that's huge. That's a big deal.
Right. And now I feel like when I'm in those situations, like I don't handle them like I used to.
Yeah.
It's actually now become a
natural
habit.
You still have a grudge against me.
Yeah,
you
I have
telling
a bunch
me
of,
earlier.
I have a bunch of grudges against my sister still.
I mean, how crazy is that? When she said that to me earlier, I was like, excuse me, you do?
Well, like, you know, like when we first started WWE, she would make us wear really ridiculous outfits that I wasn't really for, but Nicole was always the bossy one and always
she'd
acted like she was in charge.
She acted like I pinned her down and like threw it on her like
but
a
those
toddler.
Pictures live forever. So for me, it's so hard not to just accept them and forgive her.
You know, how about this? Sometimes I hold a grudge against myself for having us wear those outfits.
They were awful.
It's like those flashbacks I look at like, oh, what were we thinking?
Or my sister always says yes to everything. So she just likes when our plates are very full. Like, it's pretty crazy. And so I'm always like, you know me. I need days off. I need to decompress. So right now, our lives are wild. They're wild. And I will tell her I have a grudge against her for making me have such a wild life.
But she's still right there. My sidekick still
that's
there.
That's beautiful.
Hustling.
I love that.
Yeah.
As an only child, let me tell you, I'm very envious. I'm very envious. Aww. I wish I could have ever had a sibling of any kind. So I think that's a lovely thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
It is pretty crazy. I mean, as twins, we've never experienced the first day of school alone, going to birthday parties alone. Everything we've done in life, we've always had
even
someone
family
there.
Vacations.
Family vacations. We've been really blessed to have that. So I even look at my daughter who just in quarantine, who's been on her own with no siblings, no one to play with.
Right.
I was like, I never knew that life. And so we try to always keep her entertained and play with her. But I'm like, gosh, my life was so different because I was had this one.
Right. You always have like that security blanket, which has been nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that so much. The only grudge, and I am a grudge holder. I'm somebody who like I'm an elephant. I never forget.
Yeah.
And I hold grudges for others. You know, if somebody does something to somebody I love, I'm like, that person's dead to me for life.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like, they'll forget. My friends will forget. They're like, why do you hate that guy? And I'm like, because of you.
Right.
He did something bad to you.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Actually, me
and
too.
And then I get so pissed when they don't reciprocate. And they'll say like, oh, I was hanging out with, you know, so-and-so. And I'm like, don't you remember when he was a total asshole to me? And they're like, oh, oops. And I'm like, I don't forget.
Yeah.
I got a Rolodex up here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm actually, that's where then I hold my grudges because I am the same way when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And then I get so annoyed with family members, friends. I'm like, are you kidding me? Don't you remember? Totally.
I know.
It's so hard. You know what it is? For me, when someone's crossed that line, it's just hard for me to be kind to them, to smile. And I think what that goes back to all of us, we're just really real people.
Right.
So it's like, I can't fake it. Like, I can't hug you or smile with you or laugh with you if you've crossed a line with myself or someone that I'm close with. It's like, I'm not going to fake it.
Yeah.
Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And so that's just, so I guess, I hold grudges in that way.
That's exactly how I am. And then, of course, it's just about little things. Like, for example, I decided to order, this is a follow-up to a grudge I had in a past episode. I decided to order at the very beginning of quarantine loungewear. You know what I mean? I was like, cute loungewear. Yeah. And it took, like, 3 months to get here. And then it was all mostly terrible, like things that it looks like if you got close to a candle, it would just go up in flames, flammable looking. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And then this was a separate purchase, what I'm wearing right now. And I have to tell you, the ad, it was like a cute little crop top and a pair of little bike shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, order a size up because it fits small. Let me show you what arrived. I'll show you. And the listeners who may be not seeing this, I'll describe it as best I can. The best way to describe this, I would say, is like a muumuu.
Yeah.
It's like if you're in a medical, medical patient.
Totally. That's exactly what it's
and
like.
And then look at these. Look, this isn't a bike short.
Oh, my
short.
God. I love it.
I'll say they look super cozy, but they
remind me if you were like at a yoga retreat.
Yeah,
exactly. It feels like something that you would only wear if you were like, recovering from an illness or at a retreat where you're sweating all day every day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is not the cute crop top tight short I was hoping for. You know, this is not the thing.
But that happens to me all the time with online shopping, which is why I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
Because it never comes the way.
Like, unless find like a brand and a size that you love. I'm someone who I'll just keep getting it. That's like, you know, all different colors or the same.
Well, and I also look at the models and I'm like, okay, that's exactly how it's going to look on me. And then when I try it on, I'm like, no, that is not how it looks on me.
That's happened so many times.
And I feel like this is a time where I've also been like, I don't know, sometimes I'll get a few glasses of wine in, and then the next morning I'm like, what did I order last night? Like, it's like drunk shopping is at an all-time high for me, and I just have to stop. I have to just put my phone on airplane mode at night.
God wanted us to be pregnant during quarantine because he knew the wine every day that would be flowing, all the mistakes that we'd be doing.
I couldn't even imagine.
I know.
My wine cellar would have been done.
Oh, yeah. I think today is day 3 or day 4 that I haven't had a drink. And I'm like, I don't know. What's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Honestly.
It's like, why not? Why am I limiting this? But, you know, just trying. Because it was like, my boyfriend and I started hard. Like, we came into quarantine and we were like, let's go. And then it was like, drank 16 bottles of wine in like 5 days or something crazy. It was like, what are we doing? This is not sustainable.
But I feel like everyone was doing that. Like, is everyone,
and
none
it
of
seemed
us
seemed like a party in the beginning, and now we're like,
everyone was doing TikTok challenges. Yep. Like, there was a, you know, calling people out to do something. I mean, I made a fort. I was part of a fort challenge.
Built robots out of
boxes.
I
made robots. Like, there was a lot going on beginning of quarantine, but now it's like been too long. And now I'm like, all right.
And now we have a lot of Karens and Kens out there.
Oh, yeah.
They keep us pretty entertained.
Listen.
It's like, jeez.
It's a wild time. It's a wild time. Top to bottom, every day is you just, I feel like it's, you know, I know that people have been making the jokes, but it really does become one of those things where it's like, what's going to happen next? I have no idea.
Totally. Yeah.
If you had told me a year ago, half of the stuff that's been happening would happen, I'd be like, nah, that's too much.
Yeah.
If this was a movie, we'd be like, it doesn't make sense. It's too forced. Yes. It's like, no, just buckle up.
We'd be like, oh, Hollywood, overdoing it. I've seen a meme where it's like aliens and they're like them, like August is coming up, or it was just
like they're in their spaceship. They're like waiting in a line. To come down.
They're like next.
They're next.
Yeah. I will say that's the one thing I get entertained by is people are really now memes. They're like so good.
Oh yeah.
I'm not good
especially
at memes.
Especially in this time. I love memes.
It's like you're so bored. You've got I listed 18 things in your intro. Like you don't have to also do memes, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing so many amazing things.
He's like, don't give her an idea.
Yeah. I'm going to hold another grudge against Nicole because she's gonna be like, we need to get in the meme business.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to talk to you
about the app business.
Find some of those pictures of those old outfits and like, there you go. Maybe you can get some laughs.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be healing.
I'm about ready to send it to her life coach. Like, can you start to work on this? Because
I think I got rid of those outfits.
Oh, I'll be able to Google them and find them. Send them to your life coach and you guys could talk about it and you can let it go.
I love it.
You're doing just fine, sister.
Nikki and Brie Bella, you guys are so awesome. Thank you so much for doing this episode of this show. Honestly, like, I just think you're so wonderful and cool and fun and open. And I really do appreciate you taking the time, especially on the cusp of both of your births. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's such a pleasure, quite honestly. And please, and you have a podcast as well, the Bella's Podcast, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a podcast, Fabulous. Bella's Podcast, new episodes every Wednesday. Anywhere you get podcasts.
I love it so much. Yeah. Thank you so much again. Thank you. I wish you both so much love and light. And I'm so excited for you as you're going to meet your new family members, your new cousins. No, it's going to be so exciting. Crazy.
Ooh, can't wait. Meet my son soon.
Yes. And then, you know, before we know it, we can all have wine in LA and be able to really like sit in person and hang out.
Yeah.
I would love that so much. I feel like we're all cut from the same cloth. So I would love to get in on that wine anytime.
Yes.
Definitely. Let's do it. Right.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Definitely.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, it's time for the final segment on Giving It Up for Less. Last thing I'll say, a segment dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement. So much to talk about today and so little time. First of all, I just want to say very quickly, please do some reading about the amazing Harriet Tubman. She was a badass woman who did amazing things, and I am disgusted that anyone would publicly disparage her, and I would really encourage you to learn a little bit more if you don't know a lot about her. I don't even want to give her disparager any airtime. So that's what I'm going to say. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that America lost a vital member of the civil rights movement, John Lewis. He was 80. He died of cancer. He did such amazing things. And I've been doing more reading about him over the past couple of days, too. And I just wanted to share a little bit about his life in case maybe you've heard the name, but you're not sure exactly what he did. He was involved so young. It was in the 60s. He was a keynote speaker at the March on Washington in 1963 when he was 23. Oh, my gosh, this makes me feel like, oh, what have I even done with my life, you know? But he was obviously a colleague of Martin Luther King Jr., and he was a part of the Freedom Riders, which challenged segregated buses during that time. And they did such amazing things. He himself, unfortunately, was badly beaten at Selma. His skull was broken, and it was actually something, he was 25 at the time, and it was state and local police that attacked the protesters with clubs. His skull got broken. Apparently the images are awful. This actually got a lot of support for the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which was signed by Lyndon B. Johnson, who was president at the time. And he said, "I gave a little blood on that bridge. I thought I was going to die. I thought I saw death." But he did live through it, which is amazing. He literally gave his blood for this movement, which I think is, I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about that. He went on to become a congressman. He was a congressman in Georgia for 30 years, over three decades, and until he died. I mean, what an amazing life, you know? And to think about everything he had done by the time he was 25 and then went on to do even more until he was 80, it just really inspired me. And it really made me realize that it was like, you know, we have to make the most of this time we have, and we have to use our voices and platforms and all of the above for good. So John Lewis, if you'd like to learn more, I would really encourage you to do some more reading. Again, for me, I knew a little bit about him, but I really wanted to honor his death and take some time to read and learn a little bit more. And it was, I mean, it's an amazing life, just a full life for the betterment of the country and for people, which I think is amazing. Last thing I'll say is there's been new information in the Breonna Taylor case. It has come to light that she was alive for about 6 minutes after she was shot, and none of the police gave her any medical attention. I think that this is something that we need to continue to talk about. This new information needs to be put out there, and her killers do need to be brought to justice. They need to be arrested. So I am going to go onto the Giving It Up for Less podcast Instagram, G-I-U-F-L pod on Instagram, and I'm going to share some resources there for the mayor of Louisville. There's an email, there's a phone number for the Attorney General of Kentucky, and I would encourage everyone to write some emails, make some calls, and we need to continue to put pressure on the powers that be to try and get Breonna Taylor some justice. That's all for today. I hope you're all doing well. Take care.